Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden History of Texas, episode 51, Texas Politics, as we start the 1850s. I'm your host and guide, Hank Wilson, and as always, brought to you by Ashby, Navis, and Tennyson Media Publishers, producers of a comprehensive catalog of audiobooks and high-quality games, productivity, and mental health apps. Visit ashbynavis.com for more information. Texas politics is a contact sport, and actually today's Texas politics and politicians often seem like they're still set in 200 years ago. What was Texas and America like in 1850? Well, frankly, it was a mess. Country was mired in controversy after controversy, especially when it came to the issue of slavery. Texas itself, after lowering the flag of the Republic in 1846, struggled to find its footing. After the war with Mexico in 1848, the state government was bound and determined to make the Rio Grande River, especially the far western part, the state's boundary. Well, this meant that most of eastern New Mexico, including an area that reached all the way to Santa Fe, would become a part of Texas. In fact, in 1848, the state legislature declared that part of eastern New Mexico to be named Santa Fe County. And the governor, George T. Wood, sent Spruce Baird there to set up a county government. Well, needless to say, the proud people of Santa Fe refused to accept the Texans, and with the help of federal troops, forced Baird and the other Texans with him to depart. Baird was actually only able to stay until July of 1849, at which time he left the region. Meanwhile, in Washington, a major controversy was brewing between legislatures from the North and those of the South. Of course, this was over the issue of slavery, and especially if it was to be allowed in the newly acquired territories that had recently been acquired from Mexico in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which ended the Mexican-American War. This necessarily drew Texas into the dispute on the side of the South. Remember, the early Anglo settlers of Texas were mostly Southerners, and their allegiance was to the South and to slave owners. Well, why does this matter? Well, it's simple. Because when President Zachary Taylor took office in March of 1849, he suggested that the best way to handle adding the new territories of California and New Mexico was to bring them in directly as states, just bypassing the whole you have to be a territory first kind of thing. Now, while this sounds like an easy thing to do, not so fast, Pilgrim, because most people knew that both California and New Mexico were most likely going to prohibit slavery. Well, this set off alarms in the South, Texas, and the Anglo-Texans. It also angered Texans because it effectively stopped Texas from ever claiming Santa Fe and eastern New Mexico. And, more importantly to the southern states, it would effectively stop the expansion of slavery at Texas. Diehard southern slaveholders vowed they would break up the Union before they accepted President Taylor's proposals. Not only did they urge Texas to stand strong and demand the boundaries they wanted, but the Mississippi state legislature actually called for a convention to take place in Nashville in 1850, whose purpose was to devise and adopt some means of resistance to what they labeled as northern aggression. Well, needless to say, this was warmly greeted by the passionate southern spokesmen in Texas, and they took up the argument. They demanded that the state send delegates to Nashville to prove that Texas would not meekly submit to the Union. As my mother used to say, squeaky wheel gets the grease. And in 1849, the Texas legislature gave in to the pressure and passed an act that created new boundaries. Once again, they proposed to create Santa Fe County, and this time they sent Robert Neighbors to organize the government. Since this was a very active legislative group, they also declared that there would be an election in March of 1850 to send 8 delegates to the Nashville Convention, so that they might provide consultation and mutual action on the subject of slavery and southern rights. That's a quote. Nevertheless, Neighbors, as Baird before him, discovered the residents of Santa Fe had no desire to be part of Texas. Well, being the stubborn folks they were, the Texas government was ready to become aggressive and solve the matter by force. Luckily for all, calmer heads prevailed, and discussions were held in Washington that resulted in the creation of a compromise. Maryland Senator James A. Pierce proposed that the Texas-New Mexico boundary be a line that was drawn on the eastern side from the Rio Grande along the 32nd parallel to the 103rd meridian, then north to 3630, and finally east again to the 100th meridian. This created the outline of Texas that you see today. Texas didn't suffer from this, and in fact, you could say the state profited nicely, because in return for giving up its claims on New Mexico territory, Texas received $10 million in United States bonds. Half of the funds received were to be held to help pay off the state's public debt. Of course, some Texans, after all, we are notoriously stubborn, bitterly opposed what they labeled the infamous Texas bribery bill. However, those who held the most extreme views were slowly being outvoted by more moderate citizens, not only in Texas, but also across the entire South. One result of the crisis was that Texas hero and the most popular politician in the state, Sam Houston, was moved to get involved. He poked fun at the idea of the Nashville Convention and an election to select delegates. Ten of those elected, only former Governor J. Pinckney Henderson actually attended the meeting in Tennessee. On a side note, it was during the same election that Austin was chosen to be the permanent state capital. Even in the Nashville Convention, the original diehards against Texas giving up its claim eventually adopted a much more moderate stance. Finally, during the elections held in November of 1850, Texans voted by a 2-to-1 margin to accept the Pierce bill, and the issue was resolved. At the time of this initial crisis in 1850, there was still a strong sentiment in favor of the Union. But one other thing that it also clearly demonstrated was how many, in fact the majority, of the Anglo citizens identified with the Old South. This would be tested in the upcoming years, and at this time, a letter from Charles C. Mills of Harrison County to Governor Peter Bell summarized this situation and the thinking of some about why compromise was necessary. He was also very aware of how, even with a compromise, the situations and feelings were still tense and dangerous when he wrote, "Texas, having so recently come into the Union, should not be foremost to dissolve it. But I trust she will not waver when the crisis shall come." He was very much on target about a future crisis. The upcoming National Compromise of 1850 would lay the groundwork for the future troubles, and Texas would play a role in them too. That's going to do it for today. Texas politics of the 1850s were pretty much as crazy and chaotic as they are today. But eventually, folks come together and get things done. Hey, please subscribe to the podcast. I'm back. I'm going to keep posting episodes. Now, remember, if you want more information on Texas history, visit the website of the Texas State Historical Association. It has a wealth of articles and research that you're going to love. I also have 4 audiobooks on the hidden history of Texas. The Spanish Bump into Texas, 1530s to 1820s. Here Come the Anglos, 1820s to 1830s. Years of Revolution, 1830 to 1836, and my latest, A Failing Republic Becomes a State, 1836 to 1850. You can find the audiobooks pretty much wherever you download or listen to audiobooks. Just do a search for The Hidden History of Texas by me, Hank Wilson, and they'll pop right up. Or visit my website, arctx.org. That's arctx.org. And by the way, like I said, if you like audiobooks, visit my publisher's website. There's an incredible selection of audiobooks there. In addition to mine, you'll find the classics, horror stories, science fiction, mental health, and much, much more. Check it out. Visit ashbynavis.com. That's ashbynavis.com. Thanks for listening, y'all, and I'll see you again. Peace.